Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love, your goodness, your presence in this place. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, God, that we can come to you just as we are. Lord, we need you. We need to yoke with you. We need your presence to be lost, Lord, just in your consciousness, to be lost, God, in your love, God, in your mercy. Lord, just pour out, God, your spirit. May your words, God, be food for us to a very hungry and thirsty soul. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, our ninth sermon, the series on knowing God, we want to talk about God's existence. We want to, and so necessarily, we want to talk about the Trinity. And to know God is to know God in his essence, the substance of God. I think we talked about God. God is spirit. God is, as we will see, consciousness himself. And so the way that God introduces himself is very unique and unlike any other religion. The idea of ontology, it's a field of philosophy that deals with existence, the nature of existence. And so it is by the way that God identifies himself, and we take it for granted, this idea of existence and language. So I remember there's a common joke when I was in Korea. In learning English, the two phrases that you learn are the two questions, and it's this, and they make fun of how everybody learns English in Korea, at least back when I was there. They teach you to greet, and we greet with the thing, this statement, how are you? And then, how are you? I am fine, and you? That is the start of learning English. The word are is the word to be. It's just this idea, this essence, this verb, to exist, really. To be or not to be. I think, therefore I am. Descartes said it. Shakespeare took a stab at it, to be or not to be, in Hamlet. So the very, very idea of this, we take it for granted. When we say, how are you? Oh, we don't say, who are you? Right? We don't greet each other. Who are you? Now, sometimes we do, right? We say, who are you? Right? If they do something really out of the ordinary. And the idea, like, what are you? Now, what are you is a very interesting question, because it has to do with creatureliness, right? Because it's very difficult to say, what are you, God? Well, that's not inappropriate. And I think God tries to get at it, even in the very nature of who he is in his introduction. So this existence, the existence that God has had before the beginning. Exodus 3:13, Moses asked the question. Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am the very essence of existence. And you can't talk about the field of ontology and philosophy. When you talk about existence, you're talking about consciousness. God is the essence of consciousness. You wake up in the morning, you go to bed throughout the day, and consciousness, right? There is the physical reality, and then there is this metaphysical reality, which goes beyond just the physical, and consciousness is expansive. It is so big. And we're going to talk about how we're made in the image of God. But God says, I am who I am. Then he goes on and says, and he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The very nature of existence himself has sent, right? Sent Moses. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord. That's the four letter, what we call tetragrammaton. It's the four letters that represents I am who I am. That's the name of God, Yahweh. We add the verbs in there so that, you know, we could pronounce it. But when you see all caps L-O-R-D, it is God's name saying, I am the essence of existence. I am the essence of consciousness. If you have an argument for God, against God, if you want to know who or why or what, these are all aspects of consciousness, and God is saying, I am, before the creation of the world. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Say that to the people. Psalm 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, we have a term, infinite, which assumes a timeline. So we can even ask questions like, what was before God? Well, God is eternal. He's outside time. So God's existence is not bound by time. He is everlasting to everlasting. He creates the beginning in Genesis 1, doesn't he? In the beginning. But he was, what, before the beginning. He says, before the mountains were brought forth. Now, we don't have a terminology that what was before time is in essence. Now, we have to understand that God is, when we talk about the existence of God, we have to understand he is not like people. So the idea of, like, even the Trinity, how can you be three in one? Well, we're thinking, there's that term, univocally. That means we're trying to put God in the same creatureliness as us. But God is not like us. And here's the word, human being. Being is a to-be term. So we don't say animal being. We don't say plant being. We say human being. We have consciousness. We are a being. I know it's kind of getting deep and a little heavy. But we were able to carry stories and words, and why that's so important to consciousness. Because animals, no matter how smart an animal, animals cannot carry a story. You can take chimpanzees and say, hey, I'll give you this banana, give me your banana and I will give you $100. There's not a single chimpanzee you can train to give up his banana for $100. The idea of money, the story of money. You can't tell a chimpanzee. You can't tell dolphins to go somewhere and file into a stadium in an orderly fashion. If you discipline, I didn't know this, but if I was to discipline Penny, my dog, I have to do it immediately. If I come home, because I don't want to embarrass myself during the walk and try to discipline Penny, in the middle of my walk and I come home, Penny would just think I'm a mean person. Penny has no idea that that scolding is connected to a behavior that was not very desirable. And you can't do that to a chimpanzee. You can't do that to dolphins. Only human beings have that capability to carry the story. And we'll see how God creates us in His image that we may have consciousness. Existence in oneness. Deuteronomy, right? The Shema in Deuteronomy. The Lord God is one. And here's Mark 12:28, where Jesus talks about the oneness of God. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, and asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, and here's the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Then goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. God exists. We don't believe in three gods. God has one nature. He is one being. Three persons, but one being. And He's not a being like human beings. He's a different kind of being. And there is only one of that. We don't worship three beings. There is only one being that is above human beings. Jesus Christ is a monotheist. Genesis 1:27. Then God then says, so God created man in His own image. Notice, it's singular here. Now we'll read the preceding verse later. But God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Talking about mankind, male and female, He created them. So God creates human beings with the capability to have consciousness, to be self-aware, and to be able to carry a story. Now, the idea of Trinity necessarily came into being. First, there was a prophetic nature from the beginning of Genesis to point to a reality that this one being, this one existence, had many or other persons. And we're going to talk about that as we look at John. But Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in His own image. So God speaks of Himself in both the plural and in the singular. It isn't until we get to John where our forefathers, the church forefathers, began to now wrestle. Because this is monumental. John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Greek it says, en arche in Hologos. RK, I think when we started this series, we talked about the archetypical, right? Archetypical. So arch, like you have arch enemies, right? The primary, the chief. You have the archbishop. So there is this in the beginning, and then there's the word in Hologos, in is to be. Was is not just there, but it is a statement of being. And so God was the Word. Now, when we think of words, we think of letters on a page. But it is the essence of consciousness. God is consciousness. Then says, and the Word was with God. It says, Kai ha logos. In pros, where we get the word prosthetic, means with, where we get prognosis. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is saying that Jesus is the being of God. The being in is a statement of being. It's a derivative of eimi, which is to be. So, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him, the essence of consciousness, the life, bringing forth life. Jesus was elevated. If there was confusion, whether Jesus was God, whether Jesus was another God, no, he was God because Jesus himself was a monotheist. Hebrews picks the same thing up in chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Forever. The nature of the existence of Christ, unchanging. John 8, 58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh my goodness. He's quoting Exodus. He is saying he is Yahweh. They're so upset that Jesus Christ is elevating his being. He's not human being. He is God being. So they picked up stones to throw at him. They wanted to kill him because he claimed to be God, of the substance of God. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We don't have to worry about who do we pray to? Do we pray to Jesus? Do we pray to God the Father? Do we give credit to Jesus? Do we give credit to, you give credit to one? You give credit to all three persons because it is just one being. There's only one God. If you've known Jesus, you've known the Father. You've known the Father. John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. These I am statements, the nature of God's existence, the nature of the consciousness of God. I am the resurrection. I am hope. I am hope eternal. The invitation is eternal. Life is eternal. I am the source of it all, the source of hope, the source of life. And he will not disappoint. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes and believes in me shall never die. The idea of Trinity is necessary because God is love. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God. If you love, the idea of love is the idea of relationship. Because God is love. Love perfected. In perfect union. The idea of oneness. Now, we are creatures. God cannot create one being, okay, and have many persons. Marriage point, when it says you become one flesh. That's what scripture says, right? But I mean, we're not one flesh. There's a union, but we're not like melded into, like Ellen and I, we're not like, oh, wait a minute, I see Henry. Oh, no, is that Ellen or is that Henry? I don't know. You know, it's like, that's kind of stupid and strange. You get the point? Because we're creatures. God is of an existence that is unlike ours. He is one being in perfect relationship, okay, with the three. And that perfect happiness, goodness, and love. That, because you can't have love in just of yourself. Love requires a relationship. And then he defines it. In this is the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God loves us. God loves us. He loves us for eternity. Now, God has no reason to lie. He is all powerful. God is love. All of this, God is up to the very purpose of love. It is the very essence of the great commandment to display what he has in eternity past, moving forward, that we might enjoy that Trinitarian love. John 17:20, I do not ask for these only. This is Jesus praying to the Father before he goes to the cross, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And why did God send Jesus? Because he loves them. He loves us. So what Jesus is saying, so that they will know that you love them. And also love Jesus. The fact that God loves Jesus, God sending Jesus isn't because God doesn't love his only begotten Son, it's because he loves him. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Man, this idea of Trinity is so... I mean, God is creating us in his image. The Trinitarian image. The oneness. The paradigm that we have. The vortex, just me, me, me. Existence. The very nature of existence is relational. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know you sent me and what? And love them. And love them. Even as you loved me. God wants us to know through his Son that he loves us. Isn't that amazing? He wants you to know that he loves you, that this existence is not futile. You know, sometimes I catch myself. I want this existence to go by actually as comfortably, as easily, and as quick as possible. Sometimes I just want the day to just pass. You know that? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? You there, right? And sometimes I just want to just survive without all the pain and heartache, the fear and anxiety. I just want the day to go by. And God is saying, look, the nature of existence is meaningful. When it's all said and done in eternity future, I don't know how time goes when we die. I know that in the new kingdom to come, right, there is no need for the sun or the moon. I don't know how time will be measured. I don't know how, right? But my finite understanding of, but it is a construct of God. And we have to be careful how we understand. But the point is, our existence, our very existence, will be in that perfect love. Perfect love. And that all things will make sense. That this life is very precious. So precious. So precious. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. The idea of God is the idea of righteousness and justice and the idea of covenant loyalty. That's the word hesed. God is fiercely loyal to us. And scripture goes just trying to get us to understand that he loves you, that he will never forsake you, that he will never leave you, he will never abandon you, and that everything in this life will be meaningful because he is loyalty himself. And then when you look back at your life, you'll see how good it was. Whether people go to hell or people go to heaven, you will see that God is both just and that he is also very loving. God is not cruel. He is not making you suffer. Whatever you think hell is, whatever you think heaven is, whatever you think the new kingdom is, God is righteous and just. He is also loving and faithful. And that love and faithfulness is what? It goes before you. So that means his loyalty, his faithfulness in life goes before you. So whatever experience you're having, whatever it may be, you cannot exclude the meaningfulness of that existence in that moment. That means you have to be present. You can't just try to survive through it. You have to believe that his loyalty and faithfulness is in that moment, even if it's painful. So sometimes it's okay to shut off that gaming console or that TV and confront your pain. Confront it. Get with somebody.
Talk about it. Search the Word of God. Get on your knees. And stop just merely surviving. Thrive in this existence. Because God gave us this existence, right? That we would all learn. And we want to learn what it is that God made us in His image. To be lived in love, right? For the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, You are the I Am. You are like no other. And You created us in that image as creatures, to know of the love that You have, God, in the personhood of the Trinity. God, the fierce loyalty and faithfulness that You have, God, within the Trinity. God, You are now giving it to us to invite us into that relationship with You, with one another. Lord, we come before You now just as I am. Human I am, human being. Distraught, feeble, fraught with sin, and just God, chaos and ego. We come before You, Lord. God, that You may cleanse us, that we may join You, yoke with You, connect with You, to live this life as You have planned it out to be, together with You, together with one another. So as we pray, God, give us words of faith to come to You as we are, to worship who You are. As You are. Draw us near. In Jesus' name, amen.